Welcome to Strong Black Legends, the show where we give flowers to the legends of Black film and television, brought to you by Netflix and Strong Black League. Each week, we talk with the folks that paved the way for us to imagine what was possible both on and off screen. I am your host, Tracy Clayton, aka Young Who Said That? I did, girl, and you're welcome. So, just like all of our other episodes, I have to start out by practicing to be the kind of parent I intend to be one day, and that's the kind of parent that screams at you and asks you what you know about their favorite stuff, movies, music, all of that. And so, I know you know about Elise Neal, but what y'all know about Elise Neal? Talking about one of the it girls of the 90s, okay? She has graced our screens and guest starred on some of our favorite 90s sitcoms like Fresh Prince, Family Matters, and Living Single, and that's just a couple of the shows you've seen her on. After guest starring on so many TV shows, it was not long before Hollywood surprised us all and did that thing that they rarely ever do. They gave the Black people what they wanted. Can you believe it? That happened exactly one time in our nation's history? Me either. Elise Neal got her very own show starring alongside D.L. Hughley on a show called The Hughleys. She's also very well known for her NAACP-nominated role in Hustle and Flow. And although she doesn't play a pimp in the movie, Elise knows a thing or two about how to hustle and work hard, especially in Hollywood. Elise Neal has the kind of career in the industry that I can go on and on and on about, but why don't you hear it straight from the source? I had such a good time talking to my fellow Southerner. It felt like we were just two Southern belles sitting on a wraparound porch in the South. So get ready for a whole bunch of talking, a whole lot of laughing, and an interview full of two Southern accents. This is me with the ever-talented Elise Neal. I have the honor of sitting today with the absolutely stellar Elise Neal. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I am over the moon.
I am honored.
Aw, thank you so much for making the time to come sit with me because I know you be working.
I try, girl.
And we are going to get into all of that for sure. But first, I want to talk about Memphis.
Okay.
Which is where you're from.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a Southerner?
I'm still a Southerner. It does not matter how long I've lived in anywhere, any other city. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. I am straight up a Southern girl, a Southern belle,
yes.
All of those things. I love the fact that I have a place that's not considered a Hollywood place mm-hmm. that I'm from. Mm-hmm. I think it has always kept me grounded. You know, all I got to do is talk to shout out to my oldest sister, Carol.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I've done, what is going on. She's going to call. She's going to be like, how are you doing? Mm. What are you doing? Are you eating? Are you fine? What's going on in your life? And I really appreciate the fact that I have more of a grounded. If she doesn't like something I've done, she will be the first to
let me know.
I ain't like that project. I ain't like nothing about it. I ain't like your character. I ain't like how it came out. I don't like nothing. I'm like, okay, well, damn, Carol.
Right?
All right. Well, I get it.
I love it. I love it. There's nothing like a good old Black woman from the South.
It's not.
Nothing in the world.
We're the best.
What is the best?
Sleeping on us all the time.
Everybody all the time. What do you love most about being a Black woman from the South?
I think, honestly, that I'm always kind. I feel like, I've lived in New York. I've lived in Philly. I've traveled all over the world. I think my mom and my dad always told me and taught me to be kind first, mm-hmm. to say yes and hi. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for that plate. Thank you for opening that door, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for everything. And
Amen.
Appreciate it and tell people so.
Mm-hmm.
Not just internalize it and think it was nice, but just express it.
Yeah.
And I've done that my whole life and I appreciate that about myself.
I appreciate that about you, too. You have a very good, like, kind of, like, calming, sweet energy.
Oh, child, thank you.
Yeah, I miss that because I live in New York City right now. And I get New York, but sometimes I'm just like...
I live there for, like, 6 years. I completely understand.
So you already know. It is a lot.
you be trying to get a bagel and they're like, can you hurry up and get that bagel? I'm in line for 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, sir. I'm trying to get my change out. Damn.
All very good impression, by the way. Is it in Memphis that you fell in love with acting and performing and singing?
Well, what's crazy is, so the journey is this. I wanted to be Debbie Allen. Okay. Since the age I was 6 years old, I wanted to be Debbie Allen. Mm-hmm. So I credit her and Fame from back then as the place where I was like, man, it's just amazing to be able to express yourself as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. I started dancing at the age of 6. And my goal when I got my full scholarship to Philadelphia to go to college was to be an entertainer, mm-hmm. not necessarily even to be an actress, but to be an entertainer. So I've traveled the world doing different musicals, Sophisticated Ladies, such and such and such and such for years. And then somewhere along the way, someone I was working with was like, wow, you're kind of funny and you're fun. You should be an actor. And I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, that's not my path. I'm living my dream. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to try a class because, you know, just because. But what intrigued me was the fact that I was horrible because I was used to moving. I was used to expressing myself as a performer through my movement. Mm-hmm. And something that challenged me so much that I had to do it with my words and keep my hands still was such a challenge at first that it intrigued me to continue to study it. Mm. And then I fell in love with it because I was like, there's really nothing more interesting than to be able to express what everything is going internally inside of you with your eyes.
That sounds very difficult.
With the heart inside of you. And how do you do that? And how do you get that emotion across to people so they understand where your character is trying to go? Mm-hmm. Just not so much with your body, especially as a person who started dancing at 6. Mm-hmm. That was really like, wow, like I really want to figure that out.
Yeah.
So that's how my love is for acting began.
Mm-hmm. About how long and how much studying did it take for you to feel like, okay, I'm not horrible anymore? Like, I feel like I'm getting
right. It was like, you know, I did a lot of, like, that's the cool thing I'll say about New York. Like, New York to me has a lot more opportunities to just express and try. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the corner theater house, you know, that they're doing things on the weekends that you can pop up and say, hey, I want to try something at the theater house. And they're like, okay, come on in.
Yeah.
I feel like that community is more lenient toward giving you a shot at that. So I did a lot of theater work and things like that. It was a Jean Franklin Institute, different things like that on stage, mm-hmm. and really kind of owning my craft. I believe it's just the process of really practicing. You know, as a dancer, I learned a long time ago that, you know, I couldn't tap dance without practice. Mm-hmm. So I never took acting lightly. It was all about finding homes to practice, finding homes to really understand the craft. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to move out to LA and really become an actress, I went to the Academy of Dramatic Art for a summer. And honestly, you know, a lot of things happened after that as an actor.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about this podcast and having the opportunity to host it and have these conversations is that there are all these Black actors that just feel like family to me because they've been in like all of the stuff that I've watched, whether it was sitcoms or movies. Like you can see Blair Underwood in this show, and then you go and see this movie and it's Blair Underwood again, you know? So it feels like I know y'all, kind of, sort of.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, it's good to finally meet you in person. And I feel like this was especially true in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, the 90s was just so Black, media-wise, movies, so television,
yes.
I know. What was going out for roles in the 90s like when it was so Black? Like, was it like there are so many opportunities around
for
everyone?
Let's just talk about how that's, I just miss that. I miss the fact that you could turn on CBS, ABC, mm-hmm. NBC, and there was opportunity and different shows showing us, mm-hmm. showing our family life, comedies, sketch comedy, mm-hmm. sitcoms, different things that had our experience on television, mm-hmm. that you didn't have to like pay for, that you didn't have to have your Netflix or whatever to get true, authentic stories about us and our race.
Exactly.
But again, different moments in our families. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see that come back.
Well,
I'm optimistic
that we can make keep hope alive.
We can make
now.
Media black again.
Absolutely. All the way around.
All the way around.
Just have the diversity.
Mm-hmm. At least try.
Try a little harder.
There you go. In the 90s, you were one of the it girls as far as like black Hollywood, black media. You were on shows.
What's I considered that? I guess I am.
I think so.
Okay.
Remember the Essence cover with Halle Berry and
True that.
Yeah, I would absolutely class you in those ladies. But yeah, you were on shows that like everybody loved and everybody watched. Fresh Prince, Family Matters, Steve Harvey, and this is all before getting your own sitcom.
Yeah.
What was it like to be a part of so many different sitcoms? Like, was the energy different on each set? Is it sort of like, okay, this is a black sitcom, we know how this works, or just like?
Yeah, I think it's two parts, right? Mm-hmm. One thing we know about Hollywood, or I say I know about Hollywood, is they like something new.
Yeah.
I was a new girl, I was a new fresh face, you know, it really kind of came easy because again, this industry likes new. Mm-hmm. So I'm someone that they hadn't seen on everything before. So I do believe it as an actor, it is easier in that beginning of your career when, you know, it's like, oh, let's have her. That's somebody new that people are mm-hmm. talking about. Okay, then let's have her over here because that's somebody that's new that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, so I believe that played into it a lot. It was always fun. And it's always fun to be the guest star.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of fun.
Was there any point while you were guest starring where you were like, okay, this is fun and it's cute, but like I'm ready to like be the star and not the guest star?
Here's what I'll say about me. As calculated as I am now in my life, mm-hmm. I wish I was calculated back then. I wasn't calculated. Yeah. It was all so new to me. Every opportunity was like, oh, this is great. I think now looking back, if I knew what I know now about the industry, it would have been way more conversations with my people and agents and managers about, okay, now I have this body of work. Mm-hmm. Now we need to take that to different networks and show them what I've been doing and show them that I could possibly have my own show or create my own show. I was really honestly figuring it all out still, mm-hmm. you know? So that's what I'll say. It was all great, but my plan was not as strategic as it probably mm-hmm. should have been, me not even thinking of that at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I feel like that would have been me as well.
Just happy. Happy-go-lucky. Yeah, just like, okay, we working. Everything is paid for. Okay, cool.
Family's
great.
Eating.
What's the next
Fantastic.
One?
Fantastic. is there any guest starring role that was your favorite? Or I don't know if it's like how you can't pick a favorite kid, so I will.
Oh, that's easy though. No, that's easy.
Okay, fine.
So especially back then, The Fresh Prince.
Okay.
The Fresh Prince, first of all, when I did it, was like that show mm-hmm. on television.
Oh my gosh, I never
It was right when
episode.
It was the biggest thing on television.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, first of all, meeting Pam Grier. I'd never met Pam Grier.
Oh my gosh.
So when I met Pam Grier, I said, she was so nice. And she was like, girl, look, I do my own makeup. If you don't like what they're doing, you do it yourself. Because
yes.
you don't know, they don't know what's going on, girl. You better do what you know that's going to make you look good. Don't
right.
be coming out there. And she was all of that,
uh-huh.
you know?
Right.
So
that's
just,
a good point, because I'd
She
imagine
was
it.
Great.
Yeah.
She was amazing. And to this day, people just love that episode that she played my mom.
So,
you know,
so
it was
good.
So fun. And the whole, ooh, you slept with Candace. people will say it to me. People just love that episode.
I would imagine that working with somebody like Will Smith, like, I would just be in stitches.
Well, you know, but that's the thing. It's so funny because people think, you know, you're doing the sitcom or you're doing something with these people who make the world laugh, mm-hmm. that they are sitting around in between takes and everything,
yeah.
making everybody laugh. No, girl, everybody busy. Everybody's
what?
Like, especially a person like Will Smith, like, you know, they've got calls to make in between.
Yeah.
They're doing things in between. They're not talking to everybody in between. They're
Aww.
Figuring out their lines. They've got their other lives and their home lives they're doing and figuring
mm-hmm.
out. It's not necessarily just, okay,
in
between, what you doing?
Yeah,
no.
Well, I guess it makes sense. I was just hoping that it was just like, you know.
I mean, I wish we had that type of time to sit around and talk in between, but we got other scenes to do and
yeah.
other things to accomplish within that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, especially with television, especially with sitcom, it is very fast paced.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, let's do next set. What's things? Let's change something. Let's do that. Didn't work. Let's do that. It's,
mm-hmm.
It goes so fast.
Uh-huh. All right. So the late 90s. I consider truly the golden era for Black people on television. And I feel like the best example of this is the Essence cover that you were on for its 30th anniversary cover. I mean, no big deal. It was just you, Queen Latifah, Michael Michelle, Loretta Devine, no Vivica Fox, Holly Berry, Jada Pinkett Smith, Regina King. You know, just
the hotness of the hot.
Oh my gosh. What was it like to be a part of that cover?
Just, I couldn't even believe when I got the call. And just, everybody was so iconic already at that point. And I was still very new to the industry. It was just a blessing to get the call from Essence. And Halle Berry was so sweet when I met her. Mm. And she was like, girl, your legs are so divine. How do you do that? How do you make your legs? I was like, oh my God, Halle, Miss Halle, that's so good. Thank you. Like, I was just so, because it was still a sisterhood, you know? So that was what made it so great. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that these were just iconic women. It was just all of us getting together to do an amazing cover. And I had a great time being a part of that.
I've been thinking since you said it about like being like how Hollywood likes something new. What happens when you're not the new thing anymore?
Well, you have to kind of take the fact that, you know, that here's the thing. I'm a realist.
Okay.
Hollywood is first and foremost about new talent, about possibly what they haven't seen, how can they get someone to break out and what that means to their project. Mm-hmm. If you have experience, that is also helpful for your next project. And then I think around the time after I'd done, you know, all of those different shows early on, it was about structuring what I wanted to do more for me. Mm-hmm. Starting to understand the structure was important to my success. Mm-hmm. Whereas because my mind was all about the dancing. So the dancers, it's like you do the same thing, you get the same success. If you're good, you're good. If you're not, you just don't mm-hmm. grow.
Yeah.
But it was more so about, okay, now, you know, stepping out and seeing what other shows are out there, whatever movies were out there, mm-hmm. and figuring out more of a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, as you grow in the business, you want your career to grow.
Right, right. Your career has certainly grown. I mean, again, like I'm just always so amazed by people who just like your resume every single year. It's at least
crazy.
At least one credit.
It's crazy.
Often more than that.
It's crazy.
I'm very, very impressed.
I mean, I'm also a hustler. You know, it's a Memphis mentality. I don't like to sit still. Mm. You know, I'm not a sit still at home. Oh, you know, there is nothing going on. I'm going to try to make something happen type of person. Yeah. I'm not the sit at home type.
Well, you were soon starring in your own sitcom, mm-hmm. The Hughleys, mm-hmm. 1998 through 2002.
Yeah.
I was a fan of it, like, from the very beginning because I was really, really into stand-up comedy when I was younger. Still am. And I remember D.L. Hughley as the host of Comic View.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is going to be funny. And it was funny. Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite shows. Did you have to audition for this role? Because, again, like, during this time, like, you're kind of everywhere.
No, I didn't. But let's talk about that for a moment.
Okay.
Now we're in this moment of, you know, people creating, right? African-Americans creating content.
Yes.
And how important that is and how that is helpful to people's careers and acknowledging people who can have the ability to have ideas and create them. Mm-hmm. So I like to emphasize the fact that, you know, DL and his comedy and everything was the creator, executive producer of The Hughleys.
I do not think I realized that.
And people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, this was all a brainchild from the comedy that he did mm-hmm. that ABC came to him and gave him his own show mm-hmm. off of what he had already accomplished. So they took that and made that the show. So
okay.
I think, wow. You know, even he doesn't really talk about that, but that mm-hmm. is the truth. That it was all a brainchild off of the comedy that made that show happen.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I didn't audition for it. This was after, you know, and in the beginning of my career, I was considered more of a, as you say, a film actress
yeah.
coming from Rosewood, then Money Talks. Mm-hmm. And then after that,
Money Talks.
Thank you. And then doing The Hughleys. And so ABC offered me The Hughleys, which okay. was a blessing because, you know, they thought we look well together playing husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, being my first sitcom, that was my second television show, mm-hmm. but my first sitcom, you know, I learned a lot on that set and learned a lot about having the position of
being the star, you know, mm-hmm. and what that means. And it was fun behind the scenes to be able to go, oh, we're going to have like your cousin and this and be like, who do you like? And yeah. being in that process. Oh, yeah, I love Vivica. Vivica played like my cousin on the show.
Mm-hmm. So you your know? Input was considered.
They would ask, you know, yeah. who do you like? And I was like, OK, this is cool. And I just loved being on that show.
Yeah.
And I think people also forget how, you know, not on the nose political, but it was very political about mm-hmm. living in a neighborhood that, you know, you were the outsiders coming into a neighborhood that maybe people didn't think that you fit.
Yeah.
And a community embracing us and how we as a family dealt with mm-hmm. those different things and our, you know, other race neighbors and all of those things and how mm-hmm. we still had issues and problems, but stuck together as a family.
Yeah.
I think it was really an important show that people seem to forget that. And I think
yeah.
you have lots of different shows that have embraced those themes, like The Neighborhood, like mm-hmm. Black-ish, like things yeah. like that, which really stem from that family element that we had on mm-hmm. a show.
Yeah, for sure. Did you find that it was more difficult for you to get roles as a Black woman?
I think, you know, what for me, the interesting thing was around, let's see, what year is that? You know, we had a writer strike. I think it was like, it was 08 or something.
Okay.
Like around in there. So then nobody was working for a mm-hmm. while there. Somewhere around in there was where it was like, oof. Mm. Then there, when the strike, it was almost a year from what I remember, coming off of that strike, that's when TV changed. That's because, see, we had all of this great TV, all these fun times. You know, mm-hmm. my race and other races were making a lot of money on television. Then the writer's strike happened. Then they could not have content that had writers. Then that's when reality TV was born. That's when you started to get, like, the Snookies and the you know, MTV of it all.
Right,
and,
right.
oh, let's find this untapped talent that nobody knows that's hilarious
uh-huh.
because we need content because there's nothing that we can do because the
right.
writers are on strike. Let's get these reality shows up and running.
Uh-huh.
Pay them, you know, $45
right,
a week.
Right.
And they will be happy because
right.
they're unknown. And you got to keep in mind, coming from, I'm not an actress first. I'm a celebrity first. I'm a talent first.
Mm,
so
mm-hmm.
that switch didn't upset me in terms of like why. It upset me because I was like, okay, I get it, but now I gotta figure it out. It
right.
was more so like now I have to figure it out.
So after the Hughleys, you moved on to work in film, and one of those movies was Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow was fun.
Tell me about it.
I thought it was so amazing to do something that, first of all, we shot in Memphis, so that was just to have
back
something,
home.
Yeah, to have something become Oscar contenders, and my hometown, be it the subject matter was what it was,
yeah.
but embracing my hometown,
mm-hmm.
like I loved that.
Feel good.
I loved it. It felt great, and then mm-hmm. we had a premiere in Memphis. As well as the in Hollywood, and just being able to take Terrence and Taraji around and go say, "Oh, y'all want to go bowling? Okay, I know where to go."
Aww.
You know, and just have them in my city was great.
I didn't realize that it was shot in Memphis. I'm like imagining like me being an actress now.
Well, what
like,
was really like, the best part? Like, okay, we had the one house where they did all the mixing and all the music took place, and we shot this, and it was super hot. People used to stop by and just. Everybody knew what house we were using. So people would stop by with plates. Y'all hungry?
Aww.
We got some plates for y'all. Y'all want something to eat? We cooked something last night. Y'all hungry over there? Let
I'm
me see
cry.
Terrence. What Terrence? What you looking at? Hey, Terrence. How you doing? My mama love you, Terrence.
I got some yams.
All of that. All of that all the time. It was so funny.
I love that so much. Southerners, man.
Southerners. They made sure they used their delicious food to be able to meet who they wanted to meet.
I feel like there was a time when I wondered, because I could see how well the movie was doing, you know, like all the awards it was mm-hmm. getting. And there was a time when I, because, you know, being Black, you know, there's always a moment where you second guess good stuff
well,
sometimes.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, too, you know, people were worried about the subject matter. The people had a lot to say about the subject matter.
Like, is this the reason the white people like it? Because it's another movie with Black folks in roles that they already think of us in?
I think it was more so for me what separates it. I mean, and again, it's just my perspective. Mm-hmm. It separates it from certain things that I feel people looked at it for. One, because it really is a movie about hope. It really is a movie about believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. When people look at you like this, like you're dirt, like you're scum, like you're just some pimp, mm-hmm. but you have so much more inside of you if someone gave you a shot.
Yeah.
I look at that movie like, I think that's why it resonated. I do.
So you mentioned that Hustle and Flow was an indie movie.
Yes.
And I feel like Black indie films right now are really having a moment. What I mean is like, all of the movies that you can find on streaming sites like Netflix that are full of just like your favorite Black folks and mm-hmm. it's about Black stuff. You don't see them in theaters. It's right. just kind of like straight to streaming. They're having such a moment. And I know that you have been very involved in said movies, which some of which you've produced, Ms. Producer. There is We Belong Together and First Impression, both of which are on Netflix.
Yes.
What excites you about these movies?
Well, perfect segue, because once I did Hustle and Flow and saw the power of creating something from scratch and making it the voice that you want, mm-hmm. you know, I think it really let me see a different side of Hollywood and mm-hmm. creation. This is the time when people were creating things.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was sitting around again, like off of the strikes and everything that was happening and the changes that were happening in with Hollywood and going, I need to create or figure out things for myself. Mm-hmm. And with being involved in that whole Hustle and Flow process, that's when I saw, wow, I like how, you know, God rest his soul, John Singleton mm-hmm. was able to pick Craig Brewer as the director and writer of Hustle and Flow and go, this is a story that I want to get behind. And people really have embraced their own thought process and what's inside of them and making it happen and putting it out on Netflix or mm-hmm. whatever platforms. But there's so many now.
Yeah.
I think that is a great thing.
Yeah. You know?
It is something to having an idea, sitting to pen and paper. I'm old school when I write. Pen and paper. And, you know, seeing it through. And yeah. creating it and pitching it and going around and seeing some if someone else loves it as much as you do. Mm-hmm. And then making it happen, or that whole process really excites me.
The movies that I'm often drawn to are usually movies that feature Black people in roles that are not, like, trauma-based for the most part. Like, I love to see Black people in just, like, funny, irreverent, like, lighthearted movies. You know, like, it's not about being Black, but it just happens to have Black people doing these very human things.
Well, that's interesting, because I feel that...
Safe space, girl. Go ahead, let it out. Let it out.
I feel like, you know, it is great to have our history portrayed. It is great. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, I'd like us to get back to a place where when I was in school that there was room for that that teachable lesson in classrooms and yeah. people really embraced learning about us in classrooms mm-hmm. and then having that art speak in terms of where we are today. And when you speak about where we are today, that means we are layered. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to show us where we are now and move us forward. I believe it does keep us in a backward feeling motion when TV and film constantly wants to remind us mostly mm-hmm. of past mm-hmm. or mostly of trauma
right.
or mostly of things that are negative about our culture.
Mm-hmm.
How can we move forward? How can we grow? How can we allow entertainment to understand all those facets? My mom was a nurse. Mm-hmm. My dad was a construction worker. Just blue collar, working
right.
hard, you know, at least love to be in entertainment. Okay, let's see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Type of family.
Yeah.
But there's so many stories about just a great family, just mm-hmm. a simple family, just
all of these different things. It doesn't have to be always a tragedy with us, because we are not all just a tragedy.
Right.
We are layered.
Right.
And I think it is important to show just the layers as much as it, as much as they want to show the bad times, we got to show some good times.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited to see the next produced movies and the next roles that you're in.
I'm just so excited about that project.
Me too. Okay, before I let you get out of here, we like to end with a quick little segment, rapid fire questions. Okay. Do you have any dream roles or dream projects?
Being lucky enough to have been in Marvel and with Logan, I want to be a superhero. I think I would be a dope superhero.
Yeah. Do you want to be like a pre-existing superhero or just like create a
brand
new one?
I want to be one that would like, you know, say that she, you know, was just with her husband and nobody knew she had superpowers. And then she saved the world type of something.
On the low.
Yeah. I might have to write that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Okay. I would see that movie. Absolutely. If it were possible to pull your black card for something, what would that something be?
Well, I don't eat yams.
Oh,
I don't eat macaroni and cheese.
Wow, I just feel like you punched me in the chest a little bit.
You asked me to punch
you. I did. I asked for it, but wow. Macaroni and cheese?
I don't eat cheese. I don't like cheese.
You don't like cheese?
No.
It's not like you're allergic to cheese?
No, I don't like it.
So what happens? How do you eat pizza if you don't?
I don't eat a lot of pizza. I know, I told you. You asked the question.
But cheese, though?
I don't eat cheese. It's just something I never liked. I never liked it. It has saved me a lot in terms of calories.
That's
but
true.
It's definitely healthier.
I don't even like it. Macaroni and cheese.
Now, here's what's crazy. I can make a dope macaroni and cheese because I'm from the South. My mother showed me how.
But how do you know if it tastes the way it's supposed to taste?
Because I'm going to taste it or ask somebody to taste it to see if they like it.
Okay.
But I don't like it.
Wow.
I don't eat cheese. I don't like it.
Wow. I understand how people feel when I tell them about me and hot sauce now.
Oh.
It's time to go. Time to wrap. Thank you. Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. I'm gonna need some time.
Oh, that's funny.
Miss Elise Neal, what's next? What's coming out?
I'm so super excited. Talking about the producer and moving forward, you know, we literally just wrapped right before Christmas the movie called Survival. Mm-hmm. And you talked about delving into characters that are layered and how does that happen. Mm-hmm. This will be something that people will see me definitely in a way that they've never seen me before. Mm-hmm. It was difficult. She goes through a lot. Basically, this character is just living her life, taking her daughter to practice and gets kidnapped and then ends up becoming raped and worried that she's not going to make it through. Mm-hmm. So she decides to psychologically think that maybe that will help her escape this guy. Mm. And I've never done anything like this before. And I'm super excited for everybody to see it. Mm-hmm. It definitely was one of the hardest roles I've ever done before in my life. But I'm super proud of my work in it, and I can't wait for everybody to see it.
I can't wait
it's
to see it.
It's co-produced with me and executive produced by Leah Daniels and her husband, Henry, and I'm super excited about that.
Can't wait to see
Survival 2020.
Survival 2020. Write that down. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. It was so much fun. We're going to get you into hot sauce, though. We're going to be all right.
Well, not until we get you in your macaroni and cheese.
No.
Macaroni and cheese is the most perfect food in the world. Even picky babies who don't eat anything. So just like never.
Never. I don't eat it.
Golly day.
And that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. This week, Tracy's flowers go to a drum roll, please. 90s slang. Yes, yes. Everyone loves it. The language of the 90s popularized and then stolen from who else? Black people.
That is right, everyone. My flowers are going to 90s slang. And right now, everybody is very, very much hungry and thirsty for the 90s and 90s nostalgia. And I get it. The 90s were so dope, from our hairstyles to what we wore. Shout out to Cross Colors, to all of the black TV shows that were on TV at the time. So I love that it's all coming back. But you know what else needs to come back? 90s slang. Like, okay, picture it. Picture it. You're in a Toyota Tercel because, again, it is the 90s. You get in, you strap in, you roll down the window with your hand because that's what we did back then. You reach up over your sun visor and you take down the little CD organizer. Remember that? You put in your TLC Crazy Sexy Cool album and you're driving over to your homegirl's house. And I mean, just like, are you there? Can you visualize it? Can you hear it? Can you hear the 90s?
Yo, that concert last night was the bomb.
Nah.
Oh, snap. Look at Miss Thang over there.
Psych.
You're bugging.
Oh, snap.
He ain't doing anything for you. It's time to kick him to the curb.
Booyah.
The bomb diggity. No doubt.
Talk to the ham because the face ain't listening.
Ooh,
you think you all that in a bag of chips, don't you?
You go, girl.
You go, girl.
You go, girl.
Ugh, 90s. The 90s, we miss you so. Who doesn't need a good you go girl in their lives sometimes? Everybody does. And so, 90s slang, these flowers are for you. Hey, I didn't see you there. Are you done with the episode? Again? Oh my gosh, you impress me each and every week, and guess what? I impress myself too. Make sure to come on back here next week and we can do it all over again and then celebrate some more, because we need more celebration in the world today. Amen? Amen. This has been Strong Black Legends. This show is a production of Pineapple Street Studios in partnership with Netflix and Strong Black Lead. Executive producers are Max Linsky, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Jasmine Lawson, and Agaranesh Ashagre. Our lead producer is Josh Gwynn. Production by Jess Jupiter and Janelle Anderson, with additional production support by Cindy Okereke and Alexis Moore. Our music is by the incredible DJ Donwill. You can follow him at DJ Donwill on all of the socials. I have been your host this entire time, Tracy Clayton, and you can find me on Instagram at Broken McPoverty. Come say hey, maybe like a picture and validate me a little bit. And it would be a very nice thing of you to do for me. Make sure to follow us on all the socials at Strong Black Lead. If you enjoyed what you heard, spread the joy and tell a friend. And also, don't forget to rate and subscribe to Strong Black Legends on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever free podcasts are sold. Until next time, shine bright like the fringe on any of Tina Turner's blah, 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 blah. Until next time, shine bright like the fringe on any of Tina Turner's gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful gowns. Where is Bob Mackie? We need him immediately. If you don't know who it is, Google him up. Okay, bye.